Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
would like to greet all of you for this last day of our Vasana, Japa and Kirtan retreat. During the following session, we will make an honest and sincere attempt to answer the questions which have remained and were not answered. What we will do is, we will do our best to talk concise and brief, because we can see the basket is full. There are many questions, and I think this is a good sign, because during a retreat we want to stir up our Krishna consciousness. We want to get it moving. We want to touch to the deeper things, the things which we often tend to forget or overlook in our sometimes so fast life. The way we will do this, Giriraj Maharaj and later Burijan Prabhu and myself will grab into the basket and at random take your questions out and answer them, and then we hope that we can get through all the questions. If not, we will do something very magical, and in that way your questions will also be answered. But let's see. Okay, so I suggest we start with Giriraj Maharaj. You can also stir up the bag. Yes.
Hare Krishna. I've experienced and realized that chanting japa in front of Tulsi Devi increases our concentration and quality of rounds. Please comment. I have experienced the same thing.
This was a very brief answer.
You said.
Yes. The next question. After hearing so much, still mind don't want to cooperate for chanting. What to do? I suggest to you a three-step program. First step. Sit down peacefully before either a picture or a deity or in front of Tulasi Devi. Move yourself in a sacred atmosphere. Second step. Bring your attention to the constant repetition of the holy name in the same way as you enter into the stream of the Ganga. In other words, bring your attention and your mind out of the atmosphere of the normal mental atmosphere and just enter into the holy name. Third step. Whenever you see that your mind gets diverted, bring it back into the Ganga stream of the holy name. At the same time, this is a practical manual for you, for mind control. Go into a different atmosphere physically and then enter a different atmosphere mentally by listening and by bringing your mind back. At the same time, listen and read those literatures which talk about the cultivation of the holy name. There are many good books which have been written now on the book market, of the ISKCON book market, and become in this way convinced from all perspectives that chanting indeed is the best. Also, live a life where you avoid to pollute your mind with bad relationships with others. This is a very brief answer. Thank you very much.
Is it possible that we get blessings from all the japa retreat teachers for nice connected chanting? Yes.
Wow. So that means actually you will somehow we will pray for all of you and in this way bless you. Don't worry, we have a special task we teach us yet to be fulfilled. Thank you. Hare Krishna, since we are in japa retreat and no other work like family and business, so we can focus nicely when we go back to our work and family, how to maintain the same mood. I want to now say something very important. You have to take something with you from this japa retreat. Something which you have learned and which you like doing. And you have to apply this consistently over a period of at least a month, preferably 40 days. If you do this, you will form a new habit which will bring you through your life. Why are you doing excellent here and you're not doing so well when you have work and business and family all around you? It's because here you are developing a different habit of rising early, chanting in association with devotees, being in the holy dham. So to form an let me say like this, I have very bad news for you. When you go back to your old life, your old habits will be at the door. Hello, hello, hello. No, 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 don't come in. I'm not here. I'm not at home. Hello, I know you have come back from Vashana. Hello. No, no, no. Yes, yes, yes. Look at TV now. Really, should I do this? There is this wonderful, innocent documentary. Very pious. You see that. The old habits kicks in and you may find yourself wasting time. But I have all these old habits will come back. They're waiting already for you. 50 old relatives before your door. Good news is you can change habits by adopting a new habit. And just take from here a new habit, something which you, not something which you know you should be doing, but you really don't like it. That won't make it. You have to take something which you liked doing here and apply that, and your whole life will change. 100%. 100%. Take a habit from here, a home. Very important.
It was said that one must chant japa in the mood of a relationship. How to develop this relationship with Krishna so to chant japa properly? Yes, we want to become attracted to Krishna. And the beginning of developing the attraction is hearing. By hearing about Krishna, we become attracted. I had an experience reading the book by His Holiness Bhakti Vikas Swami called Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Vaibhav. And just by reading about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and immersing myself in his thoughts and activities, I developed a very strong desire to meet him. I was feeling, I wish one day I could sit at his feet and hear him speak and have him cast his glance upon me. And it came from hearing. Another way is by following the instructions, as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, that if you follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga, you will develop the desire to attain me. I had a little experience yesterday morning chanting japa here with all of you. Everything was perfect and complete. accept that I was missing Burijan Prabhu, because for all these days we would chant japa sitting next to each other. But I found that when I tried to chant one mantra at a time, just forget everything else and chant one mantra at a time, it was as if he was sitting next to me. And as soon as I started thinking, oh, how many rounds have I done? How many do I have to finish before the kirtan begins and whatever? It's like he was gone. Oh, where did he go? So, yes, but hearing, it begins from hearing. And of course, associating with devotees who have faith in Krishna, who are attached to Krishna, who want to develop their relationship with Krishna, you will get that quality by associating with them, hearing from them, and serving them. Hare Krishna.
For Sachinandan Swami, you said yesterday there are five results of humility. You mentioned one. What are the others? It's a symphony. The results which appear when you are developing humility are, one, you will feel in your heart the need to place urgent appeals before Shri Shri Radha and Krishna. I cannot go on like this. Please help. The next result is your an inability to think clearly comes. What this means is you are no longer interested in thinking clearly on the material platform. You know, I don't care any longer. Something else has taken possession over me. Please remember, humility of which we speak here, the Sanskrit is dainyam, and it means something which is a deep feeling of insufficiency. You know, doesn't this mean? It means, oh, in American English, I blew it in my life. I made a mistake, I'm nowhere here. And you feel wretched, even if you are very qualified. So you are unable to think about anything else. And the third is a depressed thinking and feeling. I know for the modern man this sounds awkward, but I want to be self-confident, not depressed. What this means here is, in this context of spiritual life, is you feel really that I made a mistake in leaving Krishna. The next result of dainyam is you feel stunned. You don't want to move forward in your material life any longer. You're stunned. And the fifth result is chinta. You feel anxiety. Like Mahaprabhu, where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? It's no longer like, oh, would be nice to be more Krishna conscious. It would be nice maybe to see a nice picture. No. These days are over when you feel dainyam. You are ablaze. You are in fire. You want something very strong. And that is the only guarantee to get Krishna. Genuine spiritual life doesn't mean you feel satisfied in your material life. It just doesn't mean it. It means you come to a situation where you are ablaze with eagerness, where you want the unobtained and yet seem and seemingly so far, Kripa, in your mercy, as the only sustenance for your life. This is Dainyam. Five results: urgent appeals, inability to think clearly. You think and feel in a very longing way, depressed way. You are stunned and chitta, anxiety comes over you. These qualities came up in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we learn, we see him as a paradigm or paradigmatic figure. Oh, Krishna, this is English language. Exemplary person who teaches us this one question which comes out. If this five is too complicated for you, one is sufficient. Where are you, Krishna?
If we are already practicing devotional service from the platform of rag, that is, we are spontaneously attracted to do service, and we do it with taste, but we are not on the platform of ruchi, as defined in the lectures, unlimited desire for chanting and hearing, free from false ego and identification with the body. What are the obstacles between the two stages and how to overcome them? The question itself uses the word rag in a very general term, not in a specific sense. The actual definition of rag is beyond even prema. The Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu and Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita explain that when we are in the material world, we can come up to the stage of prema, that is our goal. But then we will take birth on the planet where Lord Krishna is manifesting his pastimes. And gradually, by associating with Krishna's eternal associates there, our love will increase to further stages, including sneha, man, rag, anurag, bhav, mahabhav. These are like very high stages of development. And most of these are possible only in Vrindavan, not even in Vaikuntha. So, someone who is filled with rag is called a ragatmika devotee, and one who has greed or extreme eagerness to have that mood of devotion and wants to follow that category of ragatmika devotee is called a raganuga devotee. So these are very advanced stages. But still, it's true, we may have some spontaneous attraction to serve, and that's very good. But we won't have that same spontaneous attraction for chanting. So what to do? Well, as we've been discussing, we have to practice chanting. Srila Prabhupada said, practice makes perfect, even in spiritual life. And it's similar to the answer that Sachinandan Swami gave about how to take the retreat back with us, how to replace the bad habits with good habits. And again, it's like the question that one disciple asked His Holiness Radhanath Swami, that I'm so eager to serve, I'm always thinking of ways to serve, that even while chanting, I'm thinking how to serve more, how to serve better. And His Holiness Radhanath Swami replied, that is very good, but chanting itself is service. And when you're chanting, your service is to chant with attention. That's your service. And if you're thinking about how to do other service, you're not really doing your service of chanting properly. So when you're chanting, you should do that service properly. As far as the obstacles, we've been discussing the obstacles and how to overcome them. But Maharaj, would you like to add something to this? Because it's...
No, I think you answered it very nice, especially when you made clear that Raag is very beyond taste or ruchi. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There are now 4 questions in one. This is illegal. we will take one of the questions, the first one, and then we will park the others, and then we have a possibility. Why is it that for a person there are always ups and downs in the level of enthusiasm, even the gap of a minute? Wow. Well, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakura answers this question. It's enthusiasm which is not rooted in deep realization. It's utsaha mayi, enthusiasm which is dependent on externals. And he gives an example of a Brahmin boy who wanted, you know, to have a book, to be part of the grown-up world, a shastra. Brahmins study specific shastras and make these books their own books. So finally this boy got the shastra, Bhagavad Gita, and he very proudly for a day he carried the Gita under his arm, showing everyone, I'm also a Brahmin, I also have a shastra. But he really didn't know so well Sanskrit and could not understand the philosophy of Krishna. His enthusiasm was very external. No? So therefore, he after one day put the book aside and started to play again in the sandbox. So this is the situation of someone who is on the platform of the beginner's enthusiasm. He feels happy. I'm dressed now like a devotee. I'm therefore also a devotee. I remember when I got my first dhoti, I went into the streets of Hamburg and danced abundantly on the streets, and repeated again and again to the German populace, I'm going back to Godhead here, see, see, look at me, my doty, you know. It was, I was enthusiastic, but based on externals. Now, after 40 years back, I hope that I have that my enthusiasm is not rested any longer on dotis, but that there are some deeper convictions and experiences which are the basis of that enthusiasm. So you have flickering enthusiasm, this up and down, because you are not yet rooted deeply in Krishna consciousness. But be patient as you continue with your japa practice in an improved way and take this with you home and continue to practice there, you won't experience any longer this embarrassing psychological up and down. It has been studied in psychology about spiritualists who are very new, that they have this, they call it Achterbahnfahrt von Enthusiasmus. If you know German, you would know what it means. It's like you know, on Kirmes, what is it? What is Kirmes? Roller coaster. Thank you. Roller coaster of enthusiasm. Sometimes you are, you know, these cars, they go up, and then they go up there, they make like, and then they go like around, and you're all up. Very, very good. Oh, you overview the whole city, and then you come to the incline. It goes down, and you're like, you know, then again it comes up, ooh, and you scream there. You must, in Amsterdam, you must have seen the whole air is full with the screams of enthusiastic and depressed tourists who go on the huge roller coaster. So, in the beginning, the spiritual life is a little bit like this, like the screams of the tourists. Hare Krishna. Become deeper.
Thank you very much for your holy association. This must be for you.
No.
Sometimes, for a fraction of time, by some causeless mercy, the holy name, the holy Dham, reveal themselves. But again, we are back. This life, this body, with its requests, social life, duties, how to deal with it. You know, actually, that first thing was sort of a joke, but at the bottom it says, for His Holiness Satchinanda Swami.
He's not holy, Satchinanda Swami. He's just trying to serve. You are.
No, you. I'll take two.
Sometimes for a fraction of time, by some causeless mercy, the holy name and the holy Dham revealed themselves. But again, we are back. This life, this body, with its requests, social life, duty. How to deal with it? I know what you mean. I can only say very sincerely, try to bring Krishna consciousness into all these areas which seem to pull you down. For instance, this body. Decorate the body with nice tilak. Wash it nicely. Uh, when you go and fulfill bodily requests, like visiting that room without windows, then you think, I'm doing this to become strong for Krishna. If I keep it inside, I will be poisoned, so I will do this for my service. In your social life, just try to introduce Krishna conscious subjects. In your duties, try to do things dutifully for Krishna. You need to put the light of Krishna consciousness into all these dark corners of your life, which are still disturbing you sometimes. And in this way, you can gradually become enlightened in Krishna consciousness in all areas. Don't be impatient, but the art is to not separate your life. I think in ISKCON we have taken a sharp sword and done something which is not to be done. We have separated one type of life from the other type of life and live a divided life, therefore. Prabhupada used to say we should make all parts of our lives Krishna conscious. Sleep for Krishna. Before you go to bed, think of Krishna. Chant the holy name until brother sleeps. Sleep embraces you and brings you into another land. No, just don't make the separation. Instead, live a life of yukta vairagya, where you use also the seemingly material things to assist you in your bhajan as secondary spiritual things. Huh? They are secondary. They are not mukhya. They are gona. They are not direct spiritual practices, but they assist your direct spiritual practice. And by means of contact, you can be Krishna conscious. See, I'm doing this japa retreat. I personally could not participate in the full amount of time which I wanted, but I needed to rest. So if I would have, during this rest, thought, oh no, you're in Maya, you're sleeping, you're sick, look at you, you nonsense sannyasi, and you're lazy, you're good for nothing, you're too much German, too much Sachidananda Swami. I was just drunk poison on top of the typhus. But instead I thought, no, let me do this so that at least I can do a little seva. And in this way, make the resting something which is helping the spiritual thing. Don't believe in the sword. The sword is material. It's not philosophically astute that you cut your life in two. This is my material life, this is my spiritual life. No, spiritualize even those aspects of your life which you have mentioned by making them helpful for your direct spiritual practice. This is yukta vairagya, connected renunciation, proper renunciation. The other is very immature.
Oh, this has three questions. Should we increase our daily number of rounds? Three questions and one answer. If we have free time, what is better? To chant more rounds or to do some practical service for the mission? 3. If some devotee is displeased with me, how will it influence my chanting? On one morning walk at Juhu Beach, Srila Prabhupada, His Holiness Lokanath Swami asked Srila Prabhupada why he prescribed 16 rounds. And Srila Prabhupada replied, I did not prescribe 16 rounds. 16 rounds minimum. Lokanath Swami said, well, there are devotees who are setting other minimum numbers of rounds for themselves. And Srila Prabhupada replied, who is stopping them? You can increase the number from 16, but not decrease. If you can chant 16,000, that is welcome. Then someone asked, maybe Lokanath Swami, maybe someone else asked, how do we know if we are just imitating Haridas Thakur? And Srila Prabhupada replied, imitation of a good thing is not bad. And then, finally Srila Prabhupada said, but if their service, and you refuse to do the service, saying, I'm busy imitating Haridas Thakur, don't disturb me, that is very bad. So, within this conversation are a few instructions that, yes, if our schedule permits, we can increase. It's most welcome. But at the same time, when we chant, we are praying for service. Now, chanting itself is service, so chanting can produce more service of chanting. At one airport when we were seeing Srila Prabhupada off in New York, a reporter asked him sort of in a sarcastic way or a challenging way, what does this chanting accomplish? And Prabhupada smiled, just such a broad oceanic smile, and said, chanting accomplishes chanting. The more you chant, the more you chant. But if we see ourselves as servants of the holy names and of the other servants of the holy names, then our other service is not separate from chanting. It's just another type of service to the holy name. I'll give one personal example. His Holiness Niranjan Swami was staying with me at my small ashram in Santa Barbara, California. And he is the type of person who never asks for anything for himself, especially not from a god brother. But in general, he just never asks for anything for himself. So one day, as I was about to leave for the beach to chant, he very mildly said, if it's possible, if you can come back early enough, I would like to see you before I take rest. So I went to the beach, and I was chanting by my standard, very nice rounds. The rounds were really flowing. I was just going deeper and deeper and deeper. And that was also part of my thought that, oh, Niranjan Swami has taste for the holy name. If I serve him, I will also get more taste for the holy name. That was my general idea. By chanting and chanting, going deeper and deeper, relishing and relishing, and then suddenly I remembered he wanted me to come back. So I was torn. Should I keep chanting, or should I go back? And then I got a sort of message. Maybe it was just my mind, but I got a message that, from the Holy Name, I imagine it was coming from the Holy Name, that Niranjan Swami is very dear to me, so you should go back and serve him. And whatever you miss by not continuing to chant and by going back, I will make up to you. So again, if we see the practical service as service to the Holy Name, as a variety of service to the Holy Name, and pray to the Holy Name for guidance, then we can learn to reconcile these different demands. Hare Krishna.
Consciousness right now while chanting japa is very good. How does one maintain the same consciousness when one goes back to their respective cities? I feel this question is already answered, but let me summarize again. And I think you should take a habit from here, a new habit, which you like doing. And also, you should convince yourself through the respective literature, which is there on chanting of the Holy Name, that you should chant. From my own life, I have seen that it became clear to me, both by experience as well as by reading our philosophy on a daily level, that chanting is the best process. And nowadays, I also am very clear that this chanting is tremendously aided by Sankirtan. So what you could do when you go back to your respective city is you can develop something like a japa circle. You can invite people once a week to come to your home, or maybe once every 2 weeks or once every month, according to your availability, and you can do chanting together with them. Because when you do things together at your home with others, it will implant a very firm, let us say, impression. We do this in our preaching tours. We have a concert, we call it, and afterwards we take the addresses of people and invite them for kirtan and japa circles, which are done by our junior members in the different towns where they live, and in this way it helps the junior members and it also helps the newcomers to chant together. Sankirtan, very important, it is helping you. It gives you a lot of strength, because the light of the Holy Name, when reflected in many hearts, shines brighter.
Srila Prabhupada liked very much that Jayananda Prabhu was driving his taxi and chanting japa at the same time. This is in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita. Can we also drive and chant? Especially at times it is the only time available for chanting. kindly advise? Well, our philosophy is Kirtaniya Sadahari. We should always chant. So we should chant while driving as well. But for that to be the only time that we chant is not a very good situation. We should try to chant at least 16 rounds with full attention, which means we should try to arrange a schedule that includes 2 hours for chanting without any other activity. That would be ideal, and it may just take some organization, some intelligence and organization. At least some time, as much as possible, should be set aside for chanting properly, as we've been doing here, or instructed. This answer, at times it is the only time available for chanting. It seems that one could adjust one's schedule in such a way that one has other time to chant. Often devotees would make excuses, and Srila Prabhupada would say, do you have time to eat? Do you have time to sleep? We do have time because we think these are necessities. But chanting the holy name properly is the prime necessity. It may also be that we do the other things because we have more taste for them and we have less taste for chanting. But the way to develop taste for chanting is by practice. As Rupa Goswami says in the Nectar of Instruction, that we're in a diseased condition. And in our diseased condition, the chanting tastes bitter. But it's like a person who's suffering from jaundice. The cure is to take sugar candy, but in the diseased condition, the sugar tastes bitter. But we keep taking it, and gradually we become cured, and then we can taste the rock candy as it is, which is sweet like nectar. And speaking of sweet like nectar, we welcome His Grace Burijan Prabhu. Hari Bol.
How are the question and answers going?
Wonderful, wonderful. And you are the next one to give an answer.
But the basket is so full.
That's why we need help.
Maybe you should take one, and you take one, and we all answer at the same time. Quicker that way. Okay. Satchinanda Maharaj, could you pick one for me?
Okay. What question do you want to have? A challenging question?
No. Easy one.
Easy one.
Yeah. What is your country? It is said that chanting the holy name is a sacrifice. Is it acceptable if we interrupt the sound? Can we continue that interrupted sound?
Round.
Oh, round. Thank you. You too. Could you read? It is said that chanting the holy name is a sacrifice. Is it acceptable if we interrupt the round? Can we continue that interrupted round, or should we start from the beginning? This is an easy one. Because Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur answered this question, and he said that if you interrupt a round and then just continue it, you are very lazy.
How to keep a relationship with devotees when you know he, she is doing wrong, especially if he or she is older? Srila Rupa Goswami gives a very good definition with whom to associate. He says these devotees, where we derive the greatest benefit of association, is when they are affectionately related to us. They are a little bit more advanced, and they are in our own mood. So it seems when you see a fault in someone, he is not in your mood. It's not helpful for you. Better at that time to see, I might be so conditioned that I see this as a mistake, but I don't need to look. I can look for the association where I feel there is affection flowing, there is a similar outlook flowing, and that affection that relationship is helping me. You don't have to associate with everyone in the world of devotion. Just go to those who nourish your own devotion according to the three guidelines, and you will never be disappointed.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Can
you should say Hare Krishna again.
Hare Krishna. Can we use earplugs during chanting japa? His Holiness Radhanath Swami has said not to use, because japa means to hear the Maha Mantra and not the echo from within. Srila Prabhupada did not use earplugs. He chanted loudly so that he can hear his japa meditation. The holy name of Krishna is absolute. Krishna and his holy name are the same. It is, this is a whole topic, because the holy name itself is beyond the material world. It's beyond our voice. It's beyond the echo of our voice. It's beyond our minds. It is a purely spiritual entity that exists beyond the material modes of nature. But that absolute reality can be perceived by us through the medium of sound, or even through the medium of the mind. It is said that Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur would chant 3 lakhs names daily. That's 3 times 64 rounds. And 1 lakh he would chant loudly. 1 lakh he would chant softly, and one lakh he would chant within his mind. So I agree that all other factors being equal, it's better to chant without earplugs. And if certainly one should obey the instructions of his or her spiritual master, and if His Holiness Radhanath Swami has instructed his disciples not to use earplugs, then that is the best instruction for them. But that said, there are other experienced chanters of the holy names who do use earplugs. And maybe I have a tendency to compromise. So I use one earplug in one ear and I keep the other ear free. So I try to get the best of both. And I think it's an individual matter, and as Prabhupada often said in different circumstances, if it works, it's good. You try it, and if it works, it's good. Hare Krishna.
No, could you pick one for me?
He's a little more difficult.
No, it's okay. I couldn't have answered that one properly. Thank you. How to pronounce correctly Hari and Hare and Rama? While chanting, it sounds like Hari and Ram. Oh, without the pronounce Adi and should you pronounce Adi or Hari or Ram or Rama? Could you answer this one?
Well, in the Sanskrit mantra, the correct pronunciation is Hare with the ha and Rama. In Sanskrit, I'm not an expert by any means, but I've learned that every consonant has a sort of a short A after it. So it would be Rama. If that short A were meant to be dropped, there'd be like a little diagonal line under it, and that indicates that short A is dropped. But that is not there. So the proper pronunciation is Rama. There is a japa tape in which it sounds like Srila Prabhupada is saying Ram Ram Hari Hari. I have heard, I didn't do the exercise myself, but I've heard from devotees who've listened carefully that he does pronounce the short A in the Rama. But it's a little hard because when you get going, there is that tendency to drop the short A, and because sometimes you hear kirtans and even Prabhupada's japa tape where it sounds like that A is dropped. But in terms of proper pronunciation, it should be there. Sanskrit. I mean, there's Bengali pronunciations and Hindi pronunciations, but Sanskrit, it would be Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Can I say why I asked you to read it too?
Yes.
Well, when I hear questions like this, I'm wondering if the person is asking about their own chanting, and then that's, or the one, or they're thinking about correcting everyone else's chanting. So if they're thinking about correcting their own chanting, then it's simple to answer. And if they're thinking about correcting everyone else's chanting, then we wish them all the luck in the world, because it's very difficult to correct everyone in the world. And it's basically most important to correct oneself. And when we do correct others, it should be when there's a proper relationship, and not senior people, and it should be with someone you have an affectionate relationship with, and it should be done only for their benefit, and that has to be there. So because all that went through my mind, I thought I could answer it, because yes.
Well, in trying to fulfill the conditions for correcting others, I would like to mention the pronunciation of the name Gadadhar. That is the pronunciation. Once my godbrother Madhavananda, he led kirtan, the first time he ever led kirtan in front of Srila Prabhupada. And afterwards, Srila Prabhupada said, you chanted very nicely. I so much appreciated your kirtan. But one thing, the name is Gadadhar, not Gadadhara. And there are certain tunes that devotees can easily slip into Sri Advaita Gadadhara. But it's not Gadadhara, it's Gadadhar. That said, if I offended anyone, please forgive me. It was not my intention. I'm not even sure if I was qualified to say that, but I did want to say it in the mood of service. Now, there's another side to this.
There's always another side to everything, I find. Okay, maybe I'll do better with this, but if not, will you help again?
Sure, I'm your servant. Aspiring servant.
What is the time limit for chanting one round for beginners, neophyte devotees? While I'm chanting slowly, I can hear the mantra. But when I increase the speed, I cannot hear the mantra properly. Which one will you recommend? So the question seems to be, should I recommend chanting quickly, not hearing the mantra? So, of course, we cannot recommend chanting quickly and not hearing the mantra. Or should I chant slowly and take 7 or 8 hours to chant my rounds? And of course, I can't recommend chanting slowly and taking 7 or 8 hours to chant my rounds. Could you answer this question?
I can quote some things that I heard from Srila Prabhupada on the subject. As he said, as a general rule, in the beginning, one can chant, take 7.5 minutes to do a round. He said, like eight rounds in an hour. But he said, as one becomes more proficient, he can chant 12 rounds in an hour, or 5 minutes per round. But I've spoken with many God brothers who are quite experienced chanters and do have taste. And they, at least the few that I asked, they said they take around 7 minutes per round. On another occasion when Srila Prabhupada was asked, he said, the question was asked in such a way like this, as if it were better to chant more slowly. And Srila Prabhupada said that slow is not more spiritual than fast. And there have been devotees who have found that they can chant more attentively if they chant more quickly. That if they chant too slowly, they tend to space out more, whereas if they chant more quickly, they're more focused. So again, it's sort of a matter of what works. In my own japa, sometimes a little faster works better and sometimes a little slower works better. So again, it's an individual matter, and the ultimate consideration is what works best. But if one has taken a vow to chant 16 rounds, and it's hard to fulfill the vow by chanting very slowly, you should chant 16 rounds somehow or other. You should chant 16 rounds and try to hear Hare Krishna.
Will there ever be a time when we will be free from doubts and have certainty on our spiritual path? Will there ever be a time when we will become free from doubts about our spiritual life? Will we ever have the certainty on where we are going? How to get such a certainty? There is one great teacher who gives you certainty, and that is the teacher of experience. During these japa retreats and kirtan retreats, we try to create an atmosphere where it is easy for you to make an experience with the holy name, and that experience will always help you in times when doubts come. Doubts will most probably come as long as the mind is not yet purified and still accepts and rejects even spiritual things. Doubts can come, but if you have an experience, then you say, I'm right now in a low energy mode. No wonder that I have this little problem. So, Sanatana Goswami says experience is the best teacher. And therefore, in his masterwork, Brihad Bhagavatamrita, his main hero, Gop Kumar, is talking about his own experience on the spiritual path to convince the Brahmana. So drink deep from the cup of experience, then the doubts will be put into their relative positions and you will not be very impressed, even if the mind might somehow produce such doubts. I even sometimes think when I'm ill and when I'm overworked and so on, I find my mind thinking, does it really work, this chanting? Does it really work? My mind, after 40 plus years of chanting, produces this doubt in me. But by now, I can really say that this is only a mental junk fabrication, like so many other junk fabrications in my mind, which I don't need to take serious because there is no substance to this kitschy junk thoughts. Experience, best teacher.
There are two voices inside. One has an interest in enlightenment, and the other does not. One has enthusiasm for hearing and chanting, and the other does not. One is willing to participate in the VIHG, Japa, and Kirtan retreat, and the other is not. What does one do when confronted with deeply rooted spiritual indifference and aversion? Well, the person who wrote this obviously knows what to do because they obviously conquered the lower voice with the higher voice because they could not have written this unless they were here. So there is spiritual intelligence which is generated from, we can say, the sincere part of us. And the Bhagavad Gita says to control the lower self with the higher self. And the simplest, in one sense, and best means for the best part of us to blossom, and the least part of us to dwindle, is good association. And also, in addition, you know that little story about the two wolves? You know that one probably. There were two baby wolves, and there was only and someone was looking at them, and there was only enough food for one wolf. So the question is, which wolf will live and which won't live? And the wolf that gets fed will be the one that lives. And the wolf that doesn't get fed will be one that dies. So when we're confronted with these choices, good and bad, up and down, the one that gets fed with our attention will live, and the one that gets neglected will die. So we have choices to make all the time. What do we wish to flourish and what do we wish to dwindle? What does one do when confronted with deeply rooted spiritual indifference and aversion? By the way, whoever wrote this, and we don't know who wrote it, is a very good writer. And I recommend that they write also. Prabhupada recommended that we keep our intelligence active by writing every day. So whoever wrote this should keep on writing, and that will give attention also to the higher self, and that will flourish. But yes, we have choices to make. We have choices to make, and our choices determine which direction we go in. So give it attention, that the spiritual, that which evokes spiritual enthusiasm. you should give it attention. That is my recommendation.
There are four questions here, and one, how should we properly make sankalpa? In the affirmative form or like a request? Maharaj, you're the sankalpa expert. I think it's in the affirmative form, isn't it?
We were discussing this in our Govardhan Parikrama. There are two forms of sankalpa. One is an affirmative form, I will do this, and the other is a request, that is an aspiration. There is this book called Sankalpa Kalpadruma by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, where Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes down his aspirations in devotional service, aspirations which lead him directly to the service of Srimati Radharani. So these are appeals, requests. But then there are sankalpas that I will do 16 rounds minimum and follow the principles. These are more sankalpas in the affirmative. So at different times, in different circumstances, in different situations, in different spiritual things, you should choose between the two. I personally just feel, this is only a personal feeling, that beyond the main sankalpas, you know, which we give during the initiation vows, it's good to be in the request mood, in the aspiration. My Lord, I wish to offer this to you. Please, please help me. Because when you call out for the help of Krishna, then you choose the cat way, which is much better than the monkey way. I think you know what that means, and if not, you can ask the older devotees between these two ways. You are more dependent on Krishna, who has all the strengths, when you just humbly request him. So of the two, this might be, in the majority of cases, more favorable. But when there's a simple thing like you know, to attend the japa retreat and to focus on one thing, there is a possibility to just say, I really want to bind myself to this now and offer this. But generally, a devotee always asks for the higher support, generally.
Could you please share how you feel Srila Prabhupada's presence after his disappearance? And what are your relationships with him? It's for all three of us. Well, we feel his presence by attempting... Yeah. Well, we do feel his presence. We always think of him and how to please him, what would please him, what his instructions were, how to execute his instructions. We also feel his presence by talking about him, like we discussed Krishna, Naham Tishnami Vaikuntha. Krishna says, I'm not in Vaikuntha, and I'm not in the heart of the yogi, but I am there wherever devotees are chanting my glories. So when we speak about Srila Prabhupada, we feel his presence, and we should feel his presence. We should listen, read his books, listen to his tapes, hear from devotees who have had association with him, and even from devotees who may not have had physical association with him, but who have realizations of his presence, who have established their relationship with him, even without having had his physical association. What are your relationships with him? Well, I could speak for all of us that we're his disciples, we're his aspiring servants. Of course, each relationship is individual. Krishna consciousness is very personal. Srila Prabhupada was very personal in his dealings with his disciples when he was present. And he's very personal with them now, even after his physical departure. Would either of you like to say
Kim Karom Aham?
Kim Karom, what can I do? Kim Kara, I am your servant. Kim Karom, what can I do for you?
I can very honestly say that this is a very important question for a person like me who didn't have as much association as Giriraj Maharaj and Prabhu had. How to keep this relationship alive? And I found out two things which work the best for me, and that is to read his books and listen to his tapes and do one exercise while I do this. I'm allowing his words to go into my heart in an unfiltered way. In other words, I don't try to adjust his words and make them fit my own mental set of things, but I allow myself to be challenged by the absolutely otherness of Prabhupada's thoughts at times. Because we are now following Prabhupada since a long time, I often find myself in the situation that my mind has turned very much the same as his. For instance, when I preach and I say something and I later read it in his books, and I thought, wow, good, I saw things the way Prabhupada sees things, that's nice. So hearing, but not in a filtered way. Sometimes my ego has a solid crack. Oh, really? Oh my God, it's such a high level which Prabhupada demands. My ego screams out like this. But that's especially valuable to be cracked, pang, the eyes of the ego, crack, needs to be cracked. The second thing which I goes in the line of Burijan Prabhu, that I purposefully try to serve Srila Prabhupada very specifically with what I do. I purposefully offer it to him. For instance, the idea of japa and kirtan retreats came when I heard Prabhupada repeatedly saying and writing that of all his instructions, the instruction to chant 16 rounds without offenses is most important. Then I thought, wow, here I have a chance. I will try to chant 16 rounds as much as possible without offenses, trying to become free from offenses myself, and I'm going to teach these Hare Krishnas who don't know how to chant. See, whatever I do has a little German arrogance in it. But I thought, if I teach and help them, the devotees to understand and make an experience how nice the chanting of the holy name is, then I think I serve Prabhupada very much, because that was his most important instruction, and so on. So there are hearing or reading the books and not revolting, but just taking in what he says just like he said it, and allowing my perspective to be changed by that. And the second is to really offer specific services just for you. I made this experience. See, I was for some time a person who went on the street to fight against authority, a street fighting man. I was young and I was foolish and I was angry with the society, and I on principle objected to any authority. It was difficult for me to accept the authority of a spiritual master with that social background. It was not easy. Every gene and genetic codex revolted against the concept of following someone else in the beginning. Then I made an interesting experience. Prabhupada had said we should take a morning shower, a concept totally foreign to me in my upbringing. Especially, we were poor, we didn't have hot water, so it means hot, cold morning showers. And I thought, no, really, this is Hare Krishna, not for me. It's too cold and it's too regular. But then I found out I was smelling a little by not doing this. Devotees hinted that out. You have a very, very interesting fragrance, they said. They didn't want to anger me too much. What fragrance? Yeah, it comes from underneath your arms. Correct. And then I decided to take showers, and I dedicated my showers. I still remember, as an immature, young and foolish man, I said, Prabhupada, I'm really taking the shower only for you. I'm doing this for you. And I found myself blissful at doing these cold showers, and was surprised, because I surrendered taking cold showers. And in this way I've learned many other things to do, from Prabhupada, and I remain very grateful that he made at the beginning of a human being, of a non-human.
Yeah, the last part. Yeah, please.
Is that if you have a service that you know is pleasing to Prabhupada, either by his direct order, or we're talking about the spiritual master in general. So you have a service that's pleasing to Prabhupada, and you do it, but while you're doing it, you have to understand, not just mentally conceive yourself, but understand that you don't have the potency, the power, the ability to perform that service by yourself, and then you take shelter of Prabhupada, who you wish you're doing it to please him, you take shelter of him and pray for his mercy and for the ability to do it. And that makes me very close and very conscious. And it's real too. It's true, because we tend to think that we do have the potency to do so many things, but actually, if Krishna withdraws the potency to breathe, to see, to speak, to pick the hand up, we cannot do any of those things.
For the last part of this, why did Srila Prabhupada not make such japa retreats? It gave quite simple and basic instructions of chanting. Are not his instructions enough for us?
Thank you.
is a very good question. And I will answer it from a couple of points of view, and then request my esteemed God brothers to respond. When Srila Prabhupada was present, he established a morning program that included focused chanting of japa in the association of devotees, most likely in the association of Tulsi Devi, in the temple atmosphere. And he did give simple instructions. And he expected us to know them and follow them. Our godbrother Pradyumna Das, who was Srila Prabhupada's Sanskrit editor, told me that once he proposed to Srila Prabhupada that he translate Sriharinam Chintamani by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Srila Prabhupada replied, "Don't you know those things? Jiva Dharma, Sri Krishna Shikshamrita, those are important books." So Srila Prabhupada expected us to know the ten offenses and the basics and to make the effort to avoid the ten offenses. But as the movement expanded, as many of the devotees who lived in temples moved out of the temples and were separated from that, from the morning program, you know, most, in many cases, did not maintain the morning program at home. They developed bad habits. I, myself, when I had to leave the temple for medical reasons, I also gradually developed some bad habits. Then the movement has grown in such a way that there's a large congregation, a large number of devotees who've never lived in a temple, who never had the experience of getting up at 4 in the morning to chant for 2 hours or 1.5 hours early in the morning in the association of devotees. So, you know, Srila Prabhupada said, "I've given you the framework, you fill it in." So, I think that the fact that devotees are coming to the retreats. Of course, they're coming from the Association of Senior Devotees, and they would come anyway, even if the subject were how to make cow dung patties.
By the way, we have a retreat plan next year.
Yeah, so, okay, and so many Bori gentlemen were teaching how to make cow dung. Oh, yeah, let's get their association. But it's more than that. Devotees do struggle. They need support. Again, many of them are living in the association of devotees. And, don't throw it in my face. I've heard devotees express the sentiment in Los Angeles. Sovas Prabhu, the temple president, he never really supported the japa retreats, and I had a discussion with him, and he said many of the same things. Prabhupada didn't do this. But in the end, he admitted that there were devotees in the Los Angeles community who he believed were not chanting 16 rounds. And he said he never asked them and they never told him. But he sensed it from their consciousness. And he did admit that for those devotees, it probably would be good for them to go on a japa retreat and develop some good habits. And Suvas Prabhu himself is so diligent. Being the temple president, he knows that at any time a problem could come to him, even during japa period, and so his japa might be disturbed. So he gets up every morning at 2 o'clock and he chants all of his rounds in a very focused, concentrated way before Michael Arati. So yes, if your situation supports good japa for yourself, you may not need, you know, you can always improve, but I think it does fulfill a useful purpose, and I'm sure that Sachidana and Swami Burjan will have further thoughts and realizations.
The way I personally do understand Srila Prabhupada's teaching is that they are, as you said, addressing the basics, but they also show they point in particular areas. It is expected that as a devotee matures, he will be interested to pursue these hints. I want to give an example which will be a little bit interesting, I hope. See, in the Vaishnava tradition, there is a lot of knowledge about smaranam, kirtanam, shravanam kirtanam, and then smaranam, remembering to the degree of Guruvanu smriti, constant meditation and relishing the thing. But Prabhupada did not really teach that in detail to us. He didn't have formal Krishna conscious meditational classes, for instance. How does meditation or smaranam fit particularly in our practice? However, he pointed in that direction by saying those who are interested to remember Krishna always must read Krishna Bhavanamrita. Now, if you are progressing in Krishna consciousness, it is natural to one day want to remember Krishna always and never forget him. That is a natural development. It is a wanted development. And then you will ask yourself, well, where is information about Krishna does throughout the day so that I can think of him? Just like when you are thinking of someone who you like, you will think, what does this person do now? It's now maybe 9 o'clock or so, so let me calculate back 4 hours. 5 o'clock, the person is still sleeping. Good. This is in Germany, 5 o'clock, it's now 5 o'clock, and most of the people I know are getting up from bed, they have already gotten up for 1 hour, or some of them, many of them are still snoozing away. So if I want to think of someone, I'd like to know what are they doing now. It is natural, especially if there is a more. So Prabhupada, while not teaching many things in great, great systematic order, let's now have he only gave one seminar, I'm aware of, the Bhagavad Dharma seminar in what it is called, in New Vrindavan.
He needed to, but he hinted at so many things. My dear devotees, especially, I speak now to my tape hearing audience, and especially you conservatives out there, read Prabhupada's books. You will be amazed at the wealth of information you have no idea about. If you would read more, you would find out, God, he's talking about this and this and this. You would be some of you would be disturbed to see the variety of instructions. So I think this is very sometimes we hear it. I used to be so intimidated when someone would say, this is not Prabhupada's books, until I finally said, let me look, you know, there's no folio. I'm too unintelligent to use it, but I will ask someone to type in the right keywords. And I was surprised. Ooh, he talks about smaranam, about remembrance. He talks about, if you look for the information on japa and kirtan, which inform these kirtan regions. We have just scanned the books and gone through it. Many of the things, at least, which we teach, are really based on Prabhupada. I can't imagine as a disciple, that although I'm extremely creative by nature, I must find how does, let me say it differently. What did Prabhupada say, and how can we unpack this instruction and teach it that others can learn it? Otherwise, I wouldn't write books or give retreats. If it is not something which Prabhupada gives, I couldn't imagine to speak about it. That's one thing. Last thing is, I want to give have you ever read the Dalai Lama's books? If you read them, you will find out, God, are they simple. And then you will think, is that all he knows? The Dalai Lama, I thought he was a reincarnated person who was doing this already in his last life. Is that the length and breadth of Buddhistic teaching? They're too simple. This is very. But what you will find out very much that he addresses a crowd, the world, and he does very well. He's very respected in the world nowadays. He's a Nobel laureate, even, and so on. And for those who enter the world which he brings, they will have instructions within that world, which are all blessed by the Dalai Lama. You will find many very specific teachings on how to control the mind, where he writes the foreword, psychology and Buddhism, foreword by Dalai Lama. Things, you know, but as a speaker who wants to address millions, he will speak so that he can draw them in. So I personally see Prabhupada did differently than the Dalai Lama, because Prabhupada's teachings are more rich and more full of different things. But yes, he doesn't speak in detail about anything. He gives hints. So those who are interested in this direction, they must read this. He said all the Goswami's books must be read. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books must be read. Because, my dear devotees, if you want to go deeper in your spiritual life, your inquisitive mind has to find answers from your tradition. Otherwise, you look somewhere else. And therefore, Prabhupada did not only... He gave two things. He gave his teachings and his summaries of books, like Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or teachings of Lord Chaitanya Krishna book. These are all summaries of the books. No? And then he also hinted that you need to go do that. It is there. But if you feel you don't need these instructions, it is already sufficient what you know and you do fine, then also you should be, you yourself, you should follow your own path and your own calling and do like that. Mm. You can see I'm a little bit passionate about this point because I happen to be one of those that sometimes people shoot after at the back, you know, and he did this, and why did he do that? And then I say, please, thank you for asking from the back, but you can also ask from the front. These are the reasons.
Wow. So you're on the left here, right? See,
the other way.
And you're in the middle.
Now we want a right wing answer.
Yeah, I'm capable of really getting a right wing answer. But 3 points. One is that, just to reiterate what you said, if someone says that we should just follow Prabhupada's instructions, well, this is basically what we say about Japa. We just basically say the first step, you place your consciousness on the holy name of Krishna, and Prabhupada's words are just hear the holy name. So, these are Prabhupada's instructions, and we're trying to present them to help the sadhana of Prabhupada's bhakti. Second point is that Srila Prabhupada, I think it was in 1974, in a letter to Gurudas Prabhu, you might be aware of. He told him, because Gurudas at that time was in charge of the Vrindavan temple. So Prabhupada told him that when the devotees come to Vrindavan, or when the devotees come on pilgrimage to the Dhams, that he should arrange seminars for them. That was specifically Prabhupada's instruction. Because what should we do when we come to the Dham, to the holy place especially? We should be engaged in hearing and chanting. And that's Prabhupada's instruction. Not, as Prabhupada said, you won't find Krishna loitering in Loy Bazaar, which has two meanings. That if you're loitering in Bazaar, you won't find Krishna loitering in Loy Bazaar. And you shouldn't be loitering in Loy Bazaar. He won't be there. And so what should we do when we're in the Dham? Just engage in Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Engage in hearing and chanting about Krishna. Otherwise, and to increase our chanting, that's what Prabhupada said to do in the Dham. So if you've experienced what we did yesterday in Varshana, well, there wasn't very much going on other than chanting Krishna's names. We pray that was pleasing to Prabhupada. And the day before that in Terakadamba, for me to see all the devotees just sitting there and just so seriously chanting so many hours of the day in such a holy place, it was so satisfying. And I felt this was so pleasing to Prabhupada because the devotees were in a holy place and following his desire to chant his holy names. And you all were so serious and so intent on doing that. And we feel that we are servants of you all and serving Srila Prabhupada in that way, that we're trying to set up a framework to simply facilitate hearing and chanting about Krishna. So we're confident that that's pleasing to Srila Prabhupada. And also, before Srila Prabhupada's passing, even up till the time where the VAG began in 1987, no devotees practically speaking, would even come to Vrindavan during Kartik. All the devotees, the only time they would come was for the Gopurnima festival. But now, how many devotees come to Vrindavan during Kartik? That actually wasn't established by Prabhupada. But you can't even move in the Krishna Balaram temple. You can't even be there. You can't even walk in the temple for Mangalarti. And even if you're there, you can't see the deities. There are so many devotees that are so attracted to Krishna. So, if we can serve these devotees and help them, we feel that this is certainly pleasing to Prabhupada, to make best use of their time and their life in Krishna consciousness by focusing their lives on hearing and chanting about Krishna. And all the guidance is there how to live the rest of one's life. And if one gets a deep experience of chanting Krishna's name, for example, we'll probably later in the day hear Satchinanda Maharaj say, "Now we will begin Japa Retreat Part 2, where you take it home with you." So we pray that you will all take these wonderful, sweet experiences that, and know so deeply that it's actually possible. It's actually possible to be fully satisfied, not by running after the mind's desires and falling victim to the preaching, the materialistic preaching of so-called modern civilization that doesn't bring us happiness, that just increases our misery, but rather from your experiences here, you can understand, and I can understand, that by surrendering to Krishna service, by surrendering to Prabhupada's service of serving the other devotees, that we can actually become fully satisfied chanting Krishna's holy names and hearing about Krishna. And this was Prabhupada's desire. So we, in our humble little way, just in significant ways, just trying to serve Prabhupada's desires. That's our message. And if you all would take that same mission up of serving Prabhupada's desires by engaging the whole world in chanting and hearing about Krishna, not even the whole world, the whole universe. Is meant to be Krishna conscious. So find some place in the universe and do your best. Even if it's just the person next door, that's what Srila Prabhupada told Jagatini Mataji and myself. We were alone with him in this little room in the Philippines, at the Hotel Intercontinental. And there was a program that was organized for him. It was just a few minutes before the program was going to begin. And we were sitting in the room, and he picked up something from the hotel desk, and it just fell apart, and just laughed. Just see what is the nature of this world. It's going to fall apart. But then he said to us, "What?
My desire is that everyone in the universe goes back to God."
So everyone in the universe, that was Prabhupada's desire. Do you think you can find some service to do within that extent of a desire? So if you will do that, and it's based on chanting and hearing. It's based on hearing and chanting about Krishna, serving the desire of Prabhupada, Sukhchaitanya Mahaprabhu's Guru. So if you increase your enthusiasm for that, because of your taste that you've gotten here, the satisfaction that can come from just sitting in a forest somewhere all day long and chanting Hare Krishna. Either in Jesus or in Kirtan, then you will certainly make all of us fully satisfied.